Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show that shares insights into how you can build your business once, with hosts Jerry Lowry and Jennifer Navarrete. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Jennifer Navarrete, and I am joined by Sherry Lowry, who is sharing her 20-plus years of knowledge on what it takes to build your business once. Now, this week, we've really been focusing in on clarity and expanding that knowledge. Yesterday, we talked about documenting things, and we actually had, Sherry had a document that was built into four quadrants where you had a yes quadrant and you had a no quadrant, and you kind of had to decide really what you wanted to do and whether you wanted to do it and whether you should be doing it and whether it should be you doing it or whether it's something that you should push away. So on today's show, we're going to focus and expand on clarity. So what we're looking at is really going into asking questions and inquiries. So Sherry, talk to me a little bit about questions and inquiries, because are these questions that we ask ourselves, or are these questions that folks ask us?
They're going to work both ways. And sorry, my line disconnected. So I'm here now. They work in our favor both ways. These are questions that we need to be able to have answers to, and inquiries then will be things to reflect on that we need to decide one way or another if we have covered the issues that they bring up, and if they're even necessary in the case of the individual business owner. So they're kind of a prevention approach, as well as a safety net approach, as well as an establishing of an advantage approach. So thank you.
You know, that's interesting, because a lot of times, you know, you hear people ask that if you don't know what direction to take your business, that you should consider doing an ask campaign.
Ah.
And that almost sounds a little bit about what you're talking about, or at least a piece of it.
Yeah, that could be a piece of it. This actually could support an ask campaign. So one of the things we're working on is building our strategic planning goals grid. So the goals actually have some substance under them and some purposefulness, rather than pie in the sky kind of big stretches that you're going for, which it could include that as well. But if you're going to make that stretch and take that risk, then we want you to have some ammunition, so to speak, in going in prepared to do that. So I'm going to divide these into a couple of areas, and they're very often significant as things unfold. So first of all, let's talk about the purpose, the whole reason for what are called powerful questions, and what are powerful questions that we either ask ourselves or are asked along the way. And these also can apply not just at the time that you're building your business or running your business, but any time a prospective or a potential new candidate as a client in your business shows up. Keep these kinds of things in mind, because this is how you're going to test the waters for the fit between the two of you, whether it's a company or an individual owner. And so the first reason for a powerful question, and to be thoughtful about your questions, because most of the time to be best used, these are things you actually don't know the answer to in advance. They're not what are called leading questions, where you're asking the question for somebody to kind of fall into a conversation with you that you already know you want to have. This is to open opportunities for questions that you and the candidate or the existing client that possibly you may want to suggest take a different direction with the two of you together. So one of the main purpose is to encourage going a bit deeper in your own exploration of what it is that you're either offering as a service or a potential person to or entity to be in the service with you to explore, or And you also have a way, kind of a safety way, to know when a question has made a real impact, both for you or for the other. And so there are actually four types of responses that you actually can kind of take the temperature of how your questions are serving you. One is silence. And that is not dead silence, it's loaded silence, and actually stimulating real thought about what a response may be prior to making it, or saying out loud that you want to think about that a little bit, because it also could be either because either you or they have never actually thought about that yet, but the idea of it sounds really interesting or intriguing to them. You'll also know right away if there is defensiveness around that question with what the response is, whether it's avoiding or avoidance or confusion. And if they ask you to say it again or ask it again, that does not mean that it's not on target. It really may genuinely mean that it's the first time they've heard that question in relationship to the topic, and they really may need to hear it again. So silence is one of the first responses that you might anticipate or even be watchful for. There's also a surprise, and I listen for this a lot, because I do a lot of phone work, as you do, and so when you're live and in person with someone, you can see as well as hear, but when you're on the phone, you really can hear this, and you can also experience this with video, like with Skype or that type of thing. A surprising intake of breath, usually a deeper breath than usual. It's like it takes the breath away just for a second, or it kind of infuses a whole new sense of energy into wanting and needing a deeper intake of breath. It's really kind of interesting once you start listening for that, how often you hear that before something is really about to happen that could be good for either the business involvement or the personal relationship. Another thing that happens very often in my work is a gentle laugh, and usually that is at themselves. Like one of my long-time clients he's in higher-end real estate in New York, New Jersey area, and he gets a lot of challenges because the New Yorkers and the New Jersey people are fierce negotiators. And so he had this big workaround kind of a plan for some kind of a problematic situation that was coming up for him. And it was the exact reverse of what he had been telling me for 2 months that he thought that he wanted to be using as a strategy in a really difficult multifamily kind of a negotiation of the purchase or the sale of a building. And so I heard him, and I genuinely asked, I said, "Say that again." And he did. And I said, "Now wait, you're going to do what?" And all of a sudden there was dead silence, and then there was a big whoosh of output of air, and he said, "Oh, I'm not going to do that, am I?" And I had to laugh, and he started laughing, and he said, "That's what I would do in my traditional role as a high-end realtor. What I'm actually going to do as a business partner for this client is have him think about this again and us come up with a new strategy. Is that more what you had in mind?" And I said, "It's not what I have in mind. It's what you have in mind that matters. I'm just noting that the last 2 months that you've been talking about the plan, it did not include, you know, what you came up with today." And there was a big sound of relief at his end, because he's a very, very high integrity businessman. And this is one of the calling cards of his business, is you really, truly can trust him in good times and bad to do what you're going to wake up the next day and be able to look in the mirror and be real happy that you decided about. Not the fact that you got the property, you know, at $10,000 less than you thought you'd have to pay, but then regret it in the business relationship having been soured, even though you came out on top $10,000. So, and then very occasionally, the fourth kind of response to a powerful question, very occasionally may be tearing up or an obvious sadness. And that is when someone is really kind of beginning to tell the truth to themselves that they had been avoiding. Very often this is about a business collaboration that is not going as you thought it you wanted it to, or it's occasionally about a betrayal that you have put up with and, you know, not resolved or not actually forced something to happen about. And it sometimes can be the end of a partnership or the loss of a client or the telling the truth to yourself and the client that it would take you out of integrity to do with them what it is that they're asking for next in terms of a business service. So there are a variety of categories of these significant questions. But I'll stop right there, Jennifer, to ask for your input. Is this a useful direction to take, do you think, both in prevention and to discover greater opportunity for a business owner when it's their business that they're trying to set up to build one time and reinvent over and over?
Yeah, no, most definitely. I'm really glad that before you asked me that question that you also said that you're going to dive into what some of those key questions are, because, you know, we don't know what we don't know. And so maybe we don't know the questions that we should be asking because we're missing that piece of knowledge. So I'm guessing that next you're going to share what some of those questions should be so that we've got at least a template.
That's what we're going to do for the rest of the time, and then I'm actually going to share the list that I've created that I'm working from. And where it came from is tons and tons of research and many, many different publications that I have, and some of which I've created, and some of the partnerships and the business alliances I've had that we came up with for 12 years of training coaches in what is appropriate questioning and what is inappropriate, what's useful to the client, and what really is just curiosity on the part of the coach and is can be wasting the client's time. So let's go over the top of the categories, and then I'll come back and give some specifics. To start with, I'm going to talk about four categories, and I'll give you a couple of examples of each. The for instance category. There's an anticipation category. There's a clarification category, and there's an evaluation one. Now, there are many more categories, and I'll mention those today, but I want to go into a little bit more depth on each of these first four just to give you an idea of where we're heading. On the for instance type of questions, I could ask you, if you could do it all over again with Brewing Media, for example, what would you do differently? Because you actually have the opportunity any time that you're changing or adding a service.
Well,
another one. Yeah, go ahead.
I was like, oh no, she's got me in the hot seat. She's really asking me. I think I probably would have just more focus. I think a lot of what I've done as a fly by the seat of my pants entrepreneur who's trying to go to that 12-step meeting to be less fly by the seat and a little bit more intentional, I probably would have been more focused sooner. I think for me, it's everything I've done has been things that have interested me, but lots of things interest me. And I shared yesterday that I've narrowed down to three specific, you know, pieces of my business. I wish I would have gotten to those three sooner, but at the same time, I kind of think I needed to muck about and figure that out in the way that I did. So, you know, it's kind of a catch 22 on that one.
Right. And you've already addressed the next question. If it were that you could do this, what would you have done? And you already told me that, you know. When someone asks you what you would do, the first thing you want to know is what really is in their service to do. And so you've heard this before. If you could do anything you wanted, if budget was no issue, if time was no issue, what would you really do pie in the sky next? And for you, it may be more of the same, or it may be up-leveling your equipment, or it may be expanding your territory. But those are for instance kind of questions, so they fit in that category. The next category, anticipation, and I won't put you on the spot for this, what's your backup plan in the case one of the offerings that you're making right now begins not to work out quite the way you want? Do you have a backup plan first? And you want people to have a backup plan, not because they need to use it, but so they have more confidence going in to the first, you know, set of endeavors. And so they know they have something that they can fall to just in the event. And also it helps the shock and the disappointment. If you lose a client, a client situation, you know, of that terminates early, or that their agenda changes or something like that, there's not quite the anticipation. If you anticipate for the what if, and it still doesn't put a damper on the circumstance. On clarification questions, one of the things I'd like to know is there anything about this that confuses you as you have it planned out before you're going into it? Because a lot of times we make these things up as we go, and we get a new opportunity because there's a future trend that is showing up, but we haven't actually tried this stuff out. So whatever seems to confuse you, I would send you out to do research first. And kind of like you already do yourself, you talk to people who either have also done this or are doing something similar to it, or maybe offer a service that runs tandem or, you know, bridges it in some way. And the clarification questions is, how else would you like this to turn out? And this is real common, and it's very, very helpful. Almost always you have, all of us have some past experience and what things have felt like to us before. And so when something happens that surprises you, or when we're talking about opportunities, one of the clarification questions I may ask is there something else that's felt a little bit like this before? And if so, how did that work out? And then if there are more than one ways to interpret something because of perspective, to ask directly, what is another way that you could see this? Or is there another person out there who you can pull in, you know, on contract that can help with this if you need to do this? Or in worst case outcome, what kind of pivot do you have in mind? And most of the time we don't have one in mind. But if we get one in mind, it opens up possibilities before we need them. So those are the ways to clarify a bit. And then evaluation questions, asking, wait, this is what you're going to do. Is this what you ultimately would most like to do? Or is this a compromise of some kind for you? And I don't genuinely know the answer to that question. And often we're surprised when we find out that people are not really loaded for bear because they didn't want to stretch that far. They didn't want to take that big a chance. Whereas taking that slightly bigger chance or taking that risk may be the 10% difference between it being really successful for them and really not. And so when asking evaluation questions, you also can find out what kind of support someone may feel they could use to do even a better job than the job that they're intending for. So, if, for example, in my case, when I know for sure that I have someone really, really good to make a referral to, I am willing and able to kind of push and explore a little bit more than I usually would with someone who is contacting me about my services to find out if what I offer really and truly is what they most need and most can use right now, or is there another step in between that where a different referral referral I might make to them. And it's a different service than they're asking for, but I'm in a position to make informed referrals sometime, and sometime other people can use other services more so than they can use mine right then. They may be back to me later, or that helps me become kind of a go-to person for them that they feel like they can trust, who won't sell them just on what it is I'm offering. And I like being in that position. You and I've talked about being community resource before and how that's a natural part of both of the businesses that we've platformed. And then one of my favorite things is on a scale of 1, which is unlikely, to 5, which is high, what do you think the chance of success of this for you is? Resourced as you are right now, positioned as you are, life stage that you're in right now. That's kind of an invitation for a truth-telling conversation. And very often that will, and I will listen. That can be a powerful question. If I'm going to ask that question, I'm going to be very quiet, and I'm going to give them a chance to answer that and respond to it. Or I'm going to take some extra reflection time of my own if I'm asking myself to tell the truth about what the likelihood on a 1 to 5 scale is of my success at something. That's when the silence and the gentle laugh or a chuckle or a surprising, kind of a halt, stop in place or an intake of breath, or very occasionally a sadness may turn up when I have those truth talks with myself. And those are the kind of talks that I very often have with, with others, sometime with a group, more often with individuals. So that's the beginning of the clarification of those types of questions. Other questions, because I don't want us to run out of all our time here, are exploration category of questions. There's some history, and that goes back to, this seems so familiar. I know the circumstance isn't, but what's the underlying dynamic? Have you been in a situation like this before? Those are history questions. And we can go on, and they'll see on the handout implementation categories of questions, integration category, learning category about the parts that are going to be brand new to you, or are there lessons learned that you've forgotten, that we want to pay attention to here, and an options category, an outcome category. So let me stop right there because I don't want to overrun our time today.
Well, you talked a little bit about the history piece, and it says, has this ever happened before? And on most of the times, not all the time, but when it has, the thing is we can go back and go, yeah, it has, and we can describe the situation, and then you can ask, well, what would you, hindsight's 2020. If you could go back, what would have been the action steps that you would have taken instead? And now it's like, okay, now that's your basic form template for what you're going to do in this situation so that you don't have that hindsight 2020 regret kind of a thing, which is I think can be a powerful piece. And sometimes those are those things that you're learning the hard way, but if you learn them well the first time, hopefully you don't, it's like what when we talked about week one, right? You can either be moved by a feather or you can be hit over the head with a brick.
Brick, right. That's right. And by the end of this, we definitely want people to be fans of feather training.
All right. Most definitely.
Well, there's some more.
Well, Sherry.
Yeah, there are more. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I can't believe that on tomorrow's show, we're going to be wrapping up another week of content.
Yeah, that's right. And I can go in a little more depth on that since we've covered some of the ones here, and also possibly in recap get a little bit more into inquiry, or we can also carry that over into the upcoming week too. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been fun. So, hey, everybody, you don't want to miss tomorrow's show because it's going to recap a fantastic week where we dive. We went even deeper. A lot of these pieces were, actual tasking and actual work and actual things that you needed to kind of ask yourself and look around to build your business once. So we'll talk to you all tomorrow.
Okay, bye-bye.
Set a reminder for 9:30 a.m. Central every day in the month of November to listen to daily episodes of the Build Your Business Once show.